This audio production is brought to you by the Islamic Institute of Toronto.
Okay, Sheikh, go ahead, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma inna nahmaduka wa nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruk. ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters, it's my honor once again to welcome you to another episode in our series Illuminate Your Life. And today I have this beautiful tradition on good neighborliness. What we owe duties towards our neighbors. This is a very, very essential teaching. We are prone to neglect it because today the standards, moral standards among Muslims are declining because we go with the flow and the society has become corrupt. So we need to remind ourselves of such basic duties. This is a beautiful hadith, and we must try to study it and apply the lessons in our lives starting from today, inshallah. Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. Qila wa man ya Rasulallah, qala alladhi la ya'ubanu jaruhu bawaiquhu. Al-Rawi Abu Shuraih al-Adawi, Khuwailid ibn Amr, al-Masdar Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, he is not a believer. By Allah, he is not a believer. By Allah, he is not a believer. So someone asked him, who do you mean, O Rasulullah? You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a great teacher. So he made this statement to awaken the curiosity so that people listen, pay attention to what he has to say, because this is an important message that he want to share, pass on. So who do you mean when you say he is not a believer, he is not a believer, he is not a believer? He said, one whose neighbor does not feel safe from him. If our neighbors don't feel safe and secure and are uncomfortable with us being in their neighborhood, being a neighbor to them, then that means there is something wrong. Our iman is deficient. Our faith is lacking. The reporter of this hadith is Abu Shuraih al-Adawi Khuwailid ibn Amr. He was one of the wisest companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He was known for his integrity and piety. He embraced Islam before the fall of Makkah, and the Prophet appointed him as the flag bearer of his tribe. Of course, he has a number of other traditions, but one related to the same concept is an important hadith we should cite here. He reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim jarahu." Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his neighbor. Ikram, honoring, it's a very, very emphatic word. A very, very deep statement that somebody who does not honor his neighbor is lacking in faith in Allah and the last day. It's very, very serious. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, very, very important verse. Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, chapter, verse 36. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Worship Allah and ascribe no partners unto Him, and be virtuous towards parents and kinfolks, towards orphans and the indigent, toward the neighbor who is of kin and the neighbor who is not of kin, toward the companion at your side and the traveler, and towards those whom your right hand possesses. Truly, Allah loves not one who is a vainglorious boaster. This verse lists the universal divine imperative, the commandments, fundamental commandments applicable for all times. We infer 2 points from the verse. Number one, worship of Allah, honoring parents and the kith and kin, and compassion to the orphans, the poor and the destitute, and honoring neighbors and colleagues and those under our care are fundamental duties in Islam. The definition of neighbor is not exclusive. Instead, it includes those living in the proximity of our home, as well as our colleagues at work and those we regularly meet on the street or the village. They are all included in the word, generic word of neighbor in Islam. As for those living in our proximity, it extends to 40 houses on our sides. This is just an approximate that, you know, when you have this community, you have 40 houses that is considered your neighbors. So you owe it to them. Of course, first closest neighbor, then the next, then the next, then next. What do we owe our neighbors? Number one, we should never ever harm them. We should never cause harm to them by word or manners or actions. And number two, we should offer acts of kindness, including meeting them with a present face, with a smile. And we should share joys and sorrows with them. We should visit them on happy occasions. If they are afflicted, if they are sick, we should visit them. We should comfort them. The same way, if they die, we should do so. In the above hadith, the Prophet warns us against harming our neighbors. To stress the extent of it, we can only be true to our faith when our neighbors feel totally safe and secure with us. They have nothing to fear. If they are so comfortable, then that means, you know, we have real faith. And we must never do anything that would cause them to fear us or feel uncomfortable. In another tradition, Prophet goes to great extent. You explain what we owe our neighbors. Offer him assistance if you ask. Help him if he requests help. Help me with my car. Yes, we should be willing to do that if you can. If you ask for a loan, you should be willingly paying that loan, giving him that money if you can. If he's poor, you should support him. If he's sick, you should visit him. If he dies, you should attend his funeral. You know, all of this, there is not conditional on whether he's a Muslim or non-Muslim. These are general duties we owe. And you should also share his joys and comfort him if he's afflicted. Do not build over his house, blocking air to his house. You cannot build a wall blocking the air to your neighbor's house. Do not open a window from which you can peep into the room of your neighbor. Do not hurt him. If you buy fruits, the Prophet gave from it. If you cannot do so, if you don't have enough money to buy fruits that you can share with him, then if you have, bring it, conceal it, don't show it off, and don't let your child take this apple and eat it when their children are causing distress. The same way, if you buy toys for your children and you cannot buy toys for your neighbor's children, don't let your children show off with that toy. Do not hurt him by the smell of your cooking pot. If you are cooking some special curry, don't do that unless you are able to share that meal with him. You see how serious, critical this good neighborliness in Islam. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised Abu Dharr, "Ya Abu Dharr, idha tabakhta maraqatan fa'akthir ma'aha wa ta'ahad jiranak." Abu Dharr, if you were to cook a broth, make sure to add some extra water to share it with your neighbor. A Of course, I wouldn't say you apply it literally now, because in our situation, many of our neighborhood are rich, self-sufficient. You know, they are not expecting, you know, this kind of thing. But of course, we should do so on special occasions. We should share, you know, dishes with them, inshallah. He also advised the Muslim women. Oh, Muslim women, you should never shy away from gifting your neighbor with whatever you can afford to. Even if it were a small piece of bone meat, meat bone, you know, you see how, to what extent a Muslim should go out of the way, especially, you know, where there is poverty and starvation. The Prophet also said, Mazala Jibril Yusini Jibril Biljar Hatta Lagantu Annahu Sayyubarisuhu. Jibril continued to advise me of my duties to my neighbor so much so that I feared that he would be declared as one of my heirs. He would inherit. He would get a share of my inheritance. And he also said, Laysa al-mu'minu alladhi yashba'u wa jaruhu ja'i'un ila jambihi. He is not a believer who fills himself when his neighbor is starving. You know, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the greatest imams, a man of piety, exemplary piety and asceticism, he said, from this hadith he inferred that if you had surplus food and you knew your neighbor is starving and you didn't give it to him and he died of starvation, then you should be charged with second degree murder. That is the Sharia ruling he gave. So, of course, we have neighbors who are starving. Of course, today the whole world is a village now. So we owe it to them. If we have surplus food and we owe it to them, we shouldn't waste our food. We should only have, you know, sufficient to feed us, and the surplus we should give to feed the starving, you know, neighbors, because the whole world has become a neighbor, community of neighbors for us. Honoring our neighboring rules, making sure not to violate his sanctities. Don't peep into his house, looking at the women there, or, you know, and strive to preserve his honor, and never to offend him by words or actions. Once the Prophet was told of a woman who was very pious. She was praying much, fasting much, and offering much charities and other good deeds, but she could not control her tongue. She was always using her tongue, hurtful words towards her neighbors. He said, there is nothing good in her. She is a denizen of hellfire. That means she is destined for hellfire. Her good deeds did not, because they did not make her a compassionate person, did not restrain her from offending her neighbors and others. On the other hand, he was told of another woman who would perform only the obligatory prayers and charities. On top of that, she would gift her neighbors with cheese pieces and would never speak hurtfully towards them. He said, she is entitled to Jannah, only as opposed to other person who is praying and doing extra charities and devotions, but she is hurtful. This woman is helping out her neighbors. So even though she is praying only obligatory prayer and obligatory zakah and obligatory fast, she will be entering Jannah. While stressing that we must never offend or hurt our neighbors, the Prophet also advised us, bear patiently if our neighbor, what? Our neighbor was hurtful towards us. Does it justify that we hurt them too? Reciprocate hurt with hurt? No, we are not allowed to reciprocate hurt with hurt. Instead, we should exercise patience and forgiveness. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam impressed upon his companions. We have numerous traditions, reports from the companions. I only cite one here. Once a person told Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the most eminent companions, pioneers to Islam, he was known for his profound knowledge of Islam and deep piety. Somebody comes to him and said, I have a neighbor who is always hurting me. He insults me and makes things difficult for me always. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, go away, bear it all with patience, for you should obey Allah in the way you treat him, even if he were to disobey Allah in treating you. So never mind, he's hurtful, he's insulting you, make things difficult for you. You should still not act rudely, reciprocate harm with harm, but rather honor him. The lessons we learn, honoring our neighbor is a fundamental duties of Islam, one of the fundamental duties of Islam. The definition of a neighbor in Islam includes everyone we are in regular contact with, including those who live in our neighborhood, colleagues at work, as well as those we pass by the street every day. We ought to make sure they feel safe and fear no violation of the sanctities, and we should honor them and positions. We should go out of our way to help them in every possible way that we can. We should share in their joys and sorrows. We should make sure they don't starve. We should refrain from every offensive behavior, actions including building a wall, blocking air to their home, or a window, peeping into their homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us, motivate us to have deeper understanding of this beautiful religion and practice it beautifully as it is so beautiful. So let the beauty of Islam shine through our behavior and actions. This is how Islam spread throughout the world. Millions of people in Indonesia and Malaysia and China embrace Islam. No soldier ever went there. They did so by looking at the beautiful behavior and character of Muslims practicing Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
You have been listening to an audio production by the Islamic Institute of Toronto, Education for Virtuous Living. Please visit our website at www.islam.ca.